That's why we need to understand the wrath of God. The Bible talks a lot about the wrath of God. Let me give you all the verses. Now I'm going to read verse 18. We have to understand this. I say it many times. Why do you think Jesus lost it at the Garden of Gethsemane? In his entire life, he's always cool and calm. He lost it at the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed, "Oh, Father, if you can pass this cup away from me, please do it, but not my will, but your will be done." You know why? Jesus is about to face the wrath of the Father. Praise God. That's called good news. And because he faced it, I don't have to face it now. I talk about the wrath of God, I think it's 2011. Go and get it. Once in a while, we need to hear that because the Bible does talk about the wrath of God, both Old Testament and New Testament. Okay, Nahum chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. A lot in Romans. As you say, oh, that's Old Testament. I give you all in Romans. Romans 1, verse 18, which you're going to read. Romans 1, verse 18. Romans 2. Verse 5, Romans 5, verse 9, Romans 12, verse 19, Romans 13, verse 4. I love Paul because when he preached the gospel, he preached the balanced side. He didn't just talk about love, love, righteousness, righteousness. He talked about the wrath and judgment too. So that we understand, okay? Okay, then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Then Revelation has a lot, okay? The book of Revelation. Let's read verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. No, ungodliness and unrighteousness is slightly different. Ungodliness basically is our attitude towards God. Unrighteousness is the act of, the result of ungodliness. One is the attitude, one is the act. Okay. The second thing about what? The righteousness of God. If God is righteous, he has to punish sin and unrighteousness. If he does not, then he is not righteous. Thank God, that is the third thing called the good news. You know, I hear this? Because God is righteous, he has to put everything right. That's where the offering of righteousness to us by the death of Jesus Christ is called atonement, propitiation. It'll take some time to pray and talk to God and have revelation. It will change your life. The reality is most of us don't realize that we are that bad. We think we are okay. Again, okay, depending on how you measure. If you measure with anybody that's worse than you, you're always okay. But you're measured according to the standard of requirement of righteousness. We are far short. That's why Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says what? We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God, he sent Jesus Christ as atonement and appreciation. Okay, atonement basically means a substitute of our sin. That means he paid for our sin. Ah, write this down. The verse is here. Read the entire chapter of Leviticus 4. Leviticus 4. Atonement basically means substitute for our sin or the paying for our sin. Leviticus 4. Read the whole chapter of Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 17. Okay, then Galatians 3, verse 13. Turn with me to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 21, one of the best passages of scripture that describe the atonement. I tell you, this is amazing, powerful scripture. This says that God is righteous. That's why he has to judge. But yet, he justified because of his righteousness. Man, he did it both. He did it both. Okay, Romans 3, verse 21 says this. Okay, I'm going to just read according to the more accurate translation by reading for New King James. Okay, but now the righteousness from God apart from the law is revealed. You know why Paul said that? He know that if you want to live by the law, you're never going to make it. But right now, that is the righteousness from God apart from law that is revealed, that is offering unto you. Verse 22. Even the righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ is offered unto you. And you are imputed that righteousness before God if you believe Jesus by faith. Okay? To all and on all who believe. For there's no different. You know why no different? No one can make it. No one can attain it except through Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24. That's why Jesus came. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, he paid the sin for us. Verse 25, which is the atonement, the propitiation, where God put our sin on the Lamb, who is Jesus. Verse 25, whom God sent forth as a propitiation, or you can say sacrifice or atonement for us by his blood through faith to demonstrate his justice. Do you know why demonstrate his justice? Because God is righteous. Sin has to be punished and to be paid. And is paid through Jesus Christ. And because of that, the justice has been paid, has been done. Okay. To demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sin that were previously committed. You know, remember Exodus? At the doorpost, they put the blood. And the angel of death come, because they saw the blood, they pass over. Right now, because of the blood of Jesus, we supposed to face death. But when death see us, it pass over us. We are not condemned. We are not condemned. Let's go to verse 26. This is powerful because it talk about first is God is just. And because he is just, he has to demand righteousness. At the same time, he's just. He will put all things wrong to be right. He justified. He become the justifier of all men through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness that he might be just. You know why he might be just? Because he's righteous. He's just. He had to punish sin. But at the same time, he justified. Okay, he is the justifier. You know why justifier? Because now sin has been paid for through the work of Jesus Christ. So he's both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Wow. Wow. That is the gospel. It does not start with John 3:16. It starts with Romans 1, verse 16 to 17. We need to talk about the righteousness first. Because it's about God offering us righteousness. It's the offering of the righteousness of God unto us. Not the offering of love. Because he loves us. No matter who he loves. But the issue is not love. The issue is righteousness. Turn me to Romans 1, verse 16. I'm going to give you seven glories and seven power of the gospel. I say it before, it's important for us to encounter all seven aspects. Because gospel is more than just a ticket for us to go to heaven. Gospel has power to change us. That's why Paul lists seven reasons why he was not ashamed of the gospel. He said this, you know, I say it before. The reason why he's not ashamed because of this seven glory and seven power. The first, he said, verse 16 said this, for I'm not ashamed of the first one is what? Gospel. I explain to you what is gospel. The second is this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The second is this, for it is the power of God. Gospel has power. Don't just lean on a gospel that has no power, that do not change you. That is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Paul said this, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That's the second thing. The third thing is what? It's salvation. Salvation. The fourth, not just salvation, but the salvation for everyone who believes. You know, the better translation is salvation for everyone who keeps on believing. Keeps on believing. That's the fourth thing. First for the Jew, and then for the Greek. Then the fifth thing. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Or the righteousness from God is offered unto us. The sixth is from faith to faith. It's progressive. You should become better and better and better because this gospel has power and impute power in you. You should get better by the day because of the power of the gospel. Last one, which is number seven, the just shall live by faith. Okay, I'll tell you what this is about. Seven reasons why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. I say earlier, okay, it's so easy for us to say this. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It wasn't easy for Paul. It wasn't easy for believers during his time because they faced three tremendous pressure. Okay, they are talking about paying your price. No, paying the price not in terms of you have less time to sleep or you can make less money or you cannot, whatever. It's talking about you may eventually die. Because they faced three tremendous pressure during Paul's time. To say this, he got to believe it. He got to have conviction. I don't even know whether I would say this. No, I'm not. Because there's three tremendous pressure. The first one is Greek philosophy and wisdom. You must understand, during those times, the ultimate pinnacle and the ultimate and the pinnacle of wisdom of man is Greek philosophy. That's why in 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's verse 18, talks about that, the foolishness of gospel. You mean you believe this kind of story? A carpenter died for you on the cross? Come on. Come on. And the second thing that Paul has to face is the Romans Empire's mighty army. They are the strongest army. I mean, that's why it's so contradictory, or rather ironic. Paul say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God." He's comparing with the strongest power and the might during those times, and he say, yes, it's like we are saying right now. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Even the whole power of U.S. Army with their nuclear might is nothing compared to the power of the gospel. That's what Paul is talking about. Of course, the third thing is that he faced the persecution from the Jew. And to be able to say that, he has great conviction, and more than just conviction, he must have experienced a little bit. And when I read this, oh God, let me encounter the seven glory and the power. Okay, the first one, gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? We all know it's called the good news, okay, not bad news. Sometimes we preach the gospel like bad news more than good news, okay. Gospel. It's not just a good idea. It's not just a good ideology. It's not just a good advice on how to live, what to do, and how to behave. No. It's an announcement. Write this down. Announcement and the proclamation of what God has done for us. What God did. He has provided a way to salvation. I may say one more time. It's not a good idea. It's not a good ideology. It's not just good advice on how to live and what to do and how to... You know, a lot of time we preach so-called social gospel or philosophical gospel, basically teach you how to behave and so on. That's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. That's why we become weary and heavy laden because we try to do something. No, gospel is about God did something for you. You need to learn to tap on grace. It's a proclamation and the announcement of what God has done for you. Okay, it takes all three, Holy Trinity, okay, the Father planned it, Jesus paid for it, The Holy Spirit is planted in you with power. That is the gospel. The second thing. The second thing. So the first one is what? The gospel. Second, Paul said this. It is. The word is. Circle the word is. It is the power of God. Okay. Not just a description of past demonstration of God's power, like you keep talking about, oh, the power of God that resurrected Jesus. No. It's the experience of the power of God right now. That is the power of God that's working in our life. Not just the past intervention, but present manifestation. We have the power because of the gospel. The power is really in within us. That's why I always tell us, we can be overcomers. We just need to understand, say yes. Don't settle for anything less. What does Romans 8 verse 37 promise us? In Christ we are more than conqueror. We can overcome because of the gospel. Unless you are settling for a different kind of gospel. We can. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. No, I'm not scolding you. I'm pushing you to tap on what God has provided. No! There is something more. There is something much more. That's called the gospel. We should be victorious. We have to be victorious. And the Bible says, we shall be victorious. It shouldn't be anything less. Because the power is within us now. The Father planned for it. Jesus paid for the price. And because of that, who is planted in you right now? The Holy Spirit. There is power. Turn me to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7, Paul said this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel. You know what Paul said? In the earthen vessel, that's us. This is the earthen vessel. In the earthen vessel, there is the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. There is the power. There's, Paul is talking about threefold treasure. That he referred to just right this time. I'm not going to turn to it. We should talk about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. That means it's given us grace to overcome. We are receiving power so that we can receive the love of God. Do you know that you need power to receive the very love of God? That's why we pray Ephesians 3, 16. That out of his glorious riches, may he strengthen your inner man through the power of God so that you can be rooted and grounded in love. Because he has given us power to receive the love of God. And the third thing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is not just a message. This message has power. It's supposed to give us power. We can overcome. We can be victorious. And it can change us. It can. You know, I was just hearing a story. You know, I don't think you know this person. I don't know him too, but I just heard the story about this. But I tell you, that is called gospel. His name is Chris Lambert, if I didn't get it wrong. He's a Greek, okay, but he stayed in UK, okay. But he was very young. He commit murder and so on and so on. And he was put in prison for 15 to 20 years, okay. And he was very depressed. I mean, you know, most of the time when you're put in prison, you share a cell with many prisoners. But he's on his own because everybody's scared of him. He can kill anybody. Okay, so he's depressed and so on, and he finds no hope or whatever. I mean, this is funny. Don't follow, okay? This is just God's grace. Okay. So he wants to hang himself because he's so hopeless. He was so hopeless, okay. So one day, someone sent him a box. I think it's called a box. A box of books, okay. And in the book, in the box, there's a, with all the books, there's a book called the Bible. This guy, Chris Lambert, heard of the Bible. So he opened up and read. He can't understand. He found it too difficult. So he didn't bother. But he couldn't sleep because he's very depressed. Okay, don't follow, okay? Just by the grace of God. Okay? So one night he couldn't sleep. So he said, I heard many people say that this is the word of God, it works. So he took the Bible, put below a pillow and he sleep. For the first time, for many years, he could sleep soundly. So see, this works. So what he did next is that he put the Bible in his shirt so that he woke up so he can feel peaceful. He actually felt peaceful. Okay, this is the grace of God. Okay, don't go and copy. But the point I'm saying is that gospel is supposed to have power to change life, but that's not the end. One night, middle of the night, he woke up, he saw three beard person. Then he said, I know all you three. You must be the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the one at the center said, Chris, you must follow me. So he gave his life to Jesus and his life totally changed. Totally transformed. He's free from addiction and so on and whatever. So now, every time, go and type and search his name. I can't remember how it's a Greek, but it's in UK. So now, he's in ministry. Every time the judge sentenced someone who committed the same crime, you know what they just say? I sentence you now 12 months to be Chris Lambert. Because God has totally changed him. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. There is power. You must believe it. Don't settle for anything less. Cry out to God. It is the power of God. There are more verses. Okay, just write down. I just want to show you one more. Just write down. Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 22. Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 20. You know, Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 20, talk about the kind of power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is right now in us. It's in us. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. You think why I talk about we have to overcome or whatever? You think I'm setting you a target that you cannot fulfill? No, it's in you. It's your inheritance. It's my inheritance. I'm not going to settle for anything less because the Bible says I am more than conqueror. I know now I'm not even a conqueror, but I'm going for it. Because there is power. Because I believe in what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. If it does not change me, then why I even bother to believe? If it becomes a burden, then are we actually believing in the same gospel as what Paul talks about? Then I think it's time that we need to really search the scripture and see what does the scripture say. Because the scripture promised power, victory. It sets us free. Yes, maybe not instantly, but it's for us to attain. That's why I keep saying that it's available to us and it's attainable. That is the thing. Turn with me to 2 Peter. The second thing, right? Power. Power. 2 Peter. No. You see, a lot of time we make gospel cheap. When all we preach is that it's the ticket to heaven. Yes, it's true, but there's something more. There is something more. You can be victorious. It's not just a ticket to heaven. Yes, that is important. Gospel is saving us from something and is saving us to something. Which I'm going to talk about it. That's why it's called salvation. It saves us from four things and it saves us to another four things. It's a transition. That is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, 2 Peter, verse 1. No, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to this. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to men, all power is given to us pertain to life and godliness. That means we can live life victoriously and to be godly. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us, what has been given to us? Exceedingly great and precious promises that through this you may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have power. Turn back to Romans 1. The There's a third thing. Salvation. Salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. Salvation basically means deliverance. Deliverance, okay. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation. There is a comprehensive salvation. There is a total deliverance for us to lay hold of God. Save us from four things and save us to another four things. The first one. Before the gospel, we are rejected. We are condemned. Okay, and because of the gospel, we are saved from rejection and condemnation before God. So write this down. Romans 3, verse 23. Do you know that if you read the entire book of Romans, the turning point is chapter 8. Before that, Paul lays out from Romans chapter 3 all the way to Romans chapter 7. He talks about grace. He explained about righteousness. He's talking about faith, propitiation, atonement. He also talks about things that condemn us. The turning point is chapter 8, where Paul said, now you are saved to these four things. Okay, the first one that you are saved from, rejection and condemnation before God. Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 5, verse 16. The first thing we are saved from, rejection and condemnation from God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, I rarely say hallelujah because I'm not charismatic. Okay. The second thing we are saved from, Satan's dominion over us. You know, before the gospel, we are powerless before sin and Satan. We cannot overcome. But now we are saved from Satan's dominion. See, a lot of time we have to change our mindset. That's why Paul in Romans 12 verse 1 talk about the renewing of the mind. Say that, don't you realize what you have right now? Renew your mind. And that's where transformation begins. Okay. The second thing we are saved from, Satan's dominion. That means we are powerless before sin and Satan. Romans 7. Verse 14 to 24. That's why Paul says this. The things I want to do, I cannot do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Because of dominion of sin over us. The third thing, we are living in darkness. Living in darkness. Okay, no ability to know God. We totally have no ability to know God. Romans 3, verse 10 to 12. Romans 3, verse 10 to 12. There's a fourth thing. Hopelessness. Without the gospel, all we are destined is to face the eternal wrath of God. That's Romans 3, 4, 5. We have no future. You know where's our future? We're all going to hell. Before the gospel. But thank God, more than just saving us from these four things, we are saved to four things. Turn to me to Romans 8. I'm going to just read briefly to you. Romans 8. The first thing that we are saved to, that's salvation. The first thing that we are saved to is called sonship. The Father's acceptance and the Father's affection. Sonship. Do you know that? Do you know it requires the inspiration of the Holy Spirit before we actually can connect to our Heavenly Father? Not just, oh Father. That's why this verse says, Romans 8, verse 14 says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. One of the work of the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit adoption. You know what the Spirit of God works? It comes within you, causes you to understand that you are the Son of the living God. And it stirs within your inner man that bubble up that you cry, oh, Abba, Father, you are my Father. My God is my Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And because of the gospel, we receive sonship. Verse 14 says this, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received what? The spirit of adoption, by which or by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. No, my prayer, please, teach our children more than just God is our Father technically. Pray for them. Ask the Holy Spirit to do that work of adoption within them. No, no, not the orphanage kind of adoption. It's called the spirit of adoption. So that within them, when they are young, they will cry out, oh, God is my Father. Yes, I have my earthly father called William Chung. But I have an heavenly Father. Abba, Father. It's a connection that has to be done by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's saved to us. That's why it's called salvation. That's the second thing. Victory. Victory. Now we have authority to overcome. Romans 8, verse 37 to 39. Romans 8, verse 37 to 39. In it, it says, in Christ, we are more than conqueror. No, this is your promise. Guys, this is your promise. It's available to you. It's attainable. It's yours. I don't know how long. I'm just keep inching. I feel like I'm more and more able to overcome or whatever. There are still many areas, but I'm inching because I know this is my inheritance. I'm called to be more than conqueror. I refuse to accept a life of defeat, no depressed or whatever. I can be more than conqueror because of the gospel, the power of the gospel. Third one. Indwelling spirit. Indwelling spirit. Romans 8, verse 1 to 13. Romans 8, verse 1 to 13. Now he will lead us. He will teach us. He will guide us. The fourth one. Fourth one. We have a divine destiny and an inheritance. Now we have a future. We are the sons of God. Okay, that's Romans 8, verse 14 to 18. Romans 8, verse 14 to 18. You know why? If you read the book of Acts, if you study the book of Acts actually talk very little about evangelism. You know how they do evangelism? They don't go out there and share the gospel, they'll be arrested. When people see the light, man, how do you have that? So let me share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. In it, there is power and deliverance. That's why they get saved. To them, during those times, they have to pay a price to be believers. It's not just about saying yes, saying the sinner's prayer. Today, you are Christians. There is real power. That's what it is about. The fourth. Turn back with me to Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for the fourth one, for everyone who believes. It's offered to everyone. Everyone, that's why I say it's attainable, is available, is offered to everyone. No one is hopeless, no one is too bad. There's nothing too bad to keep you away from God. Nothing, no amount of sin, no degree of sin, no matter how gross is your sin. Fifth one, that's in verse 17. Verse 17, for in it, that means for in the gospel, the righteousness from God is revealed. That is the pinnacle of the glory of the gospel, where God offer righteousness unto us. Where God make a provision for us to be righteous in his sight. It's called imputed righteousness. Okay, there's a difference between imputed. Because in this verse, this whole verse, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's both talk about imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Okay, one is talking about your legal position. Okay, there's two positions about righteousness. One is your legal position, that's imputed. That means legal positions, positional-wise, because of Jesus Christ, when we say yes, we acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, perfect righteousness is imputed to us. Positional-wise, legal-wise, we are perfectly righteous. But of course, there's a second thing about righteousness. It's called our living condition. That means in reality-wise, we are growing. But we won't stay stagnant. If we continue to walk with God, tap into the power of God, we should progressively become more and more righteous. We can be, we should be, we shall be. That's why I always concern when I see people backslide. We shouldn't backslide if we are walking with the Lord. We should be more and more righteous. We will be transformed from glory to glory. That is the gospel. But of course, the first thing is imputed righteousness. That's what this verse is about. For in it, the righteousness from God is revealed. Imputed righteousness. That means by the death of Jesus and his blood and work on the cross, sin has been paid for. Every righteous requirement of God for us has been fulfilled in Christ. It's free. It's 100%. Right now, it's all yours. Do you know that today you stand before God? There's no guilt, no fear, no condemnation because of that imputed righteousness. Okay? Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. He's actually comparing the old tabernacle. Now there's a new and living way because of the atonement. There's a better sacrifice. There's a better atonement. There's a better propitiation. That's Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, this is what it is about. Now there's imputed to you righteousness. You can have confidence before God. Because you stand righteous before God with no fear, no condemnation. Say this, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from every evil conscience and body washed with pure water. We can draw near to God with confidence. So that is the fifth thing, imputed righteousness. There's a sixth thing, which is in the same verse. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That means it's more than imputed righteousness. God will impart his righteousness to us by his grace. We will progressively become mature in our righteousness. You know, that's where a lot of times we preach cheap gospel. All we preach about is what? Ticket to heaven. Today you die, you go to heaven. No, there is. God wants us to become mature. That's what Matthew chapter 22, the parable of the wedding, is all about. You know what? Remember the parable of the wedding? Jesus sent his servant to highway and byway and get everybody into the banquet. Yes, because the gospel is given to everyone. That's what Paul talks about. But God wants us to grow in maturity. He wants us to change. That's the power of the gospel. That's the good news about gospel because we can change. We can become mature. We become righteous. Remember that this guy who came, Matthew chapter 22, verse 11 and 12, he came. He didn't change his garment. You know why? He didn't bother to change. And the king, which is a picture of the father, asked, why didn't you bother to change? The putting on of the wedding garment is about we progressively on this earth, we will become more and more righteous. It's not just imputed righteousness, it's imparted righteousness. God has given us power and grace. We can on this earth. That is our goal, to become mature. It's not just get saved. Now we just cruise along. Hopefully we get by. Or, yeah, God bless me. Give me all the money or whatever. This is not what the gospel is all about. It's gospel is actually good news. We will become like Christ. Because the power has been given to us. That's why the father asked him. I mean, God asked him, why you didn't put on the wedding garment? You know what's the reason? It's scary. Which I'm going to answer you if I have the time. Is it once saved, forever saved? I'm always concerned when people keep backsliding, 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 and have no concern for God or things of God. Because just like this verse, Romans 1:16 says what? Let me turn back to it. Just one more point and that's it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who keeps on believing. You have to keep on believing. Keep on believing. It's continuous. You have to keep grafting in into the vine. Keep on. Okay, last one. The last thing. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Basically, Paul is talking about the way of the gospel. You know, gospel promised that we can experience the fullness of life on this earth. But you know what's the key? That's why he said the just shall live by faith. You have to keep walking with God. You have to keep depending on God. Lean on His Word. Lean on the power of the Spirit. Trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. That's why I say, the just shall live by faith. It's about continuous walking. I say a few times, you know that God will not walk for you. He will walk with you. He will walk with you, but He will not walk for you. This is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There is power. There is victory. No, I'm sharing this for ourselves as well as so that we can preach the gospel in very common correctly. Gospel is about God offering righteousness. More than that, He offered power. He offered deliverance. As a result, we are more than conquerors. Let's read this verse one more time. I'm just going to close in prayer. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jews, and then for the Greek. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness from God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.